We have a remarkable gift given us by God. The Holy Spirit. As Baptists, we don't delve into that too much. Other denominations delve into that, I think, too much. But we have a remarkable gift.
A.W. Tozer said, when we have the Holy Spirit, we have all that is needed to be, all that God desires us to be. We forget about Him. This is Memorial Weekend, and we need to remember. We forget about those who have given their lives that we can be free. It's not free to us. It was given to us. But also those who have passed this year to remember. This morning I want to remember the words of Jesus, who loved us so much that He gave His own life for us. It is a blessing to do that. Conversion from Islam in Muslim-majority countries to Christianity carries several severe risks. Converts face intense persecution like we could never imagine. Loss of inheritance because their families kick them out, have nothing to do with them. Forced divorces. If you're not Muslim, then you cannot be trusted to raise the children correctly, so there's forced divorcement, loss of child custody, imprisonment, death, and yet in the Muslim world is the fastest Christian growth in the world. Isn't that amazing? Amazing! In Western countries, ours included, converts face emotional and social friction with their extended family who may feel disappointed or betrayed. They generally, notice I got that underlined, they generally have the legal right to practice their new faith depending on where they live and the communities they're in. This highlights Luke 14:26. Jesus said, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciples. That's what he means. They have turned their backs on their family and they've turned their backs on whatever they've had solely because they now know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Sounds harsh, doesn't it? Sounds harsh. The Living Bible says it like this, anyone who wants to be my follower must love me. This is Jesus speaking. Far more than he does his father, mother, wife, children, brothers and sisters. Yes, more than life, more his own life. Otherwise, he cannot be my disciples. Why? Why? Because only the love for Christ can prepare and protect you through the feelings of isolation, judgment, unprotectedness, and rejection. Only the love for Christ will allow you to become what God wants you to be. Just think of the disciples hearing their Jewish brothers and sisters screaming in Matthew 27:21-23. The governor again said to them, which of these two do you want me to release, Jesus or Barabbas? And they said, Barabbas, who was he was a rebel. He was trying to overthrow the government. Barabbas, Pilate said to them, then what shall I do with Jesus who is called Christ? They all said, let him be crucified. Crucify him. You tell me what's going on in the disciples' mind. Do they love Jesus enough to stay put? Do they love Jesus enough to grasp on how he has defined what life is? Can you see their life getting smaller and smaller? As Jesus, is he demanding too much from his disciples? Is he demanding too much from you and me? Is he demanding too much? I would say yes, except for his nuggets. I call them nuggets of truth he's left them with and us. John 14:2-3, I am going away to prepare a place for you. Folks, there is a place we fit. And it's not here on this earth. This world is not my home. I'm just passing through. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. A nugget of truth. Yes, it's difficult. Yes, we go through times that just stretch us to where we think we're going to pop. But he says, I got a place for you. It's coming. John 14:18. Look at this. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. That was Jesus speaking. As he's heading for the cross, and his disciples are trying to figure all this out. What do I do with this? It's not turning out like my thought. Jesus is supposed to establish his kingdom, do away with the Roman government. We are supposed to sit on his right and left and have authority and all of this. And now he's saying he's going away? Is he rejecting us? He said, no, I'm going to prepare a place. So we're going to read part of his discourse with his disciples. And there's not going to be a whole lot of me giving out, this is what that Greek word reads, the Hebrews. We just want to focus on the words of Jesus. So often we will grab our commentaries before we spend enough time with his word to see what he says. John 16. Jesus said, we're going to read all the way through it, and then we're going to come back and kind of split it apart. I have said all these things to you to keep you from falling away. They will put you out in synagogues. Indeed, the hour is coming when whoever kills you will think he is offering service to God. And they will do these things because they have not known the Father nor me. But I have said these things to you that when their hour comes, you may remember that I told them to you. I did not say these things to you from the beginning, because I was with you, but now I am going to him who sent me, and none of you ask, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart, overwhelmed them. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father, and you will see me no longer. Concerning judgment, because the ruler of the world is judged. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore, I said, he will take what is mine and declare it to you. Let's pray. Father, the words of Jesus are precious. Even though we scratch our head at times and wonder what he meant, they are precious. They are life-giving. So may we not just jump aside too fast, but may we spend some time just looking at his words, remembering what he has done, remembering who he is, and just rejoicing in Christ our Savior. So now open up your word for your glory alone. Amen. As I read through this, the first thing I thought was, remember my words and remain strong and remain true. Remember my words. I have said these things to keep you from falling away. Now, let me ask you a question. What was the attitude? What do you hear in these words? Are you hearing, if you grew up in a harsh religion, you're hearing this with the wrong ears. You're hearing a Savior who knows what's coming, who knows what his disciples are going to experience. And just as much as their heart is broken, his is as well. And he says, all these things I'm telling you to keep you from falling away, because that is a true possibility for each one of us. Listen to what he says. Here's the reason I'm telling you these things, so that you may be fixed and firm in who you are and who I am, and to stay put until truth comes to you. They're going to put you out in synagogues. Indeed, the hour is coming when whoever kills you will think he is offering to God. Does that not happen today in our world? Not in America so much, but in our world, Christians are being killed because they think they're doing a service to God. And they will do these things because they have not known the Father nor me. They don't know God the Father. But we do. We know him. And because we know Him, we can still pray for those who are seeking to hurt us. They don't know Jesus. But I have said these things that when their hour comes, you remember that I told them to you. Folks, there's coming times in which will be their time. They will be allowed to put forth persecution on the world in you. There will be a time in which it will look like God just takes His hands and just allows all sorts of evil. But Jesus calls it a fixed time. A fixed time. Not when Satan says it's going to happen. When God says it's happened. It is their time. And God has a purpose in that as well. Remember that you do not fall away. It is to your advantage that I go away. Have you ever wondered and thought, you know, if Jesus was still here, man, that would be so nice. That would be so nice to be able to hear His words, assuming you're where He's at. If you're 2,000 miles away, it wouldn't be as good, would it? It is to your advantage. I did not say these things to you from the beginning because I was with you. I didn't have to tell you these things because I protected you. Remember that big storm you had on the sea? And you thought I didn't know, and I walked to the water on the waters and calmed the storm? Remember that? I protected you. Remember those times they wanted to stone us, and we just kind of walked amongst them? I did that. I protected you. But now I'm going away, and you're going to wonder what's going on. But now I'm going to Him who sent me, and none of you ask, where are you going? Another way would be, why are you going? Why? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Why are you going, Jesus? You think the disciples didn't have questions? Why, Jesus? This doesn't make sense to me, Jesus. I don't like this, Jesus. The same things we say today. Where are you at? Why are you here? He says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. There's why Jesus left. He was in a physical body. He could not be everywhere at once. He was limited on where He could go and who He could listen to. But now, He says, I'm sending a helper. I'm sending someone that can be with you forever. Someone that has my mind and my power and my provisions. Jesus says, I'm sending someone. You have to understand that. You have to grasp. These are the words of Jesus, not my words, His words. It is to my advantage that I go away. He said, if you love me, you will keep my commands. And really, that's not a question, okay? It's more of a, you're going to do that. Not if, but since or because you love me, you'll keep my commands. Look at verse 16. And I will ask the Father, and He will give you another helper. Jesus was the helper while He walked this earth. He spoke of the Father. He revealed the Father. He gave truth. He told what was going to happen. All of that. He was the helper. Now there's going to be another one come, and He's called in verse 7, even the Spirit of truth. When the world cannot receive, because it neither sees Him nor knows Him, you know Him, for He dwells with you and will be in you. Catch that. He's just not around you. He will be in you. It is important, Jesus says, that I go away, so that I might send somebody that is far better. Rough, far better at spreading the name of God through Jesus Christ than I am. Far better, because He will empower you in ways that I couldn't in my physicalness. He sent the Spirit of God. Think of that, folks. Think of that. I'm sending you a remarkable gift. Grasp it. I'm sending you a remarkable gift. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. He's going to do some things before you even get to the point of needing to witness. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father and you will see me no longer. Concerning judgment, because the ruler of the world is judged. Concerning sin, because they've not believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. They know something is wrong. Concerning righteousness, because as Jesus went to stand before the Father, he accepted his righteousness on our behalf, and they don't have that. Concerning judgment, because Satan has been judged, and they are judged as well. Folks, the Spirit is in this world convicting people of sin. Before you even mention the word of Jesus, he has been working. Before you even know that you need strength, he's already there to provide that. Before you even know what the next question is and you're searching, he knows what that is. He is there for you. Identify him as that. And the Holy Spirit will be your truthful guide. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. Folks, there's some things that Jesus could share with us about our lives in the future we're not ready for. We're not ready for. Randy, wouldn't you like to know step by step what's going to happen the rest of your life? No, I do not. For one thing, I would mess it up. The second thing, it might scare me too much to say yes. There are many things I have to say to you. You cannot bear them. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. I rest on that verse consistently. God, I don't know what to say to this person. Many times, God, if you don't give me something, I got nothing to say to him. I can't encourage him. I've spent time with him. You have to give that. He's done that every single time. Every single time. When we can bear it. But he leads us into all truth. Look at this. For he will not speak on his own authority. But whatever he hears, he will speak. Whatever he hears Jesus say. Folks, there's only one authority, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. He's got the mind of God. He's got the will of God. All of that. He will hear. Whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will declare to you things that are to come. Sometimes that happens to us. Mostly he's speaking to the disciples. He will glorify me. The Spirit always glorifies the Son. For he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore I say that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. What a precious gift that we ignore. We understand the sacrifice that Jesus made, and we kind of grasp that a little bit because we can kind of do that in our human flesh. But the Spirit is hard to grasp a hold of. We can't see it. We can't touch it. There's nothing in this world that we can hold on to and say, well, it's kind of like this. Yet it's the most important thing in your life today, folks. As born-again children of God, it is the most important thing in your life. You would not understand the Scripture if it wasn't for the Spirit of God. You would not have even turned your head and become saved if it wasn't for the Spirit of God. You would not have the strength to walk as he wants you to walk, in the manner he wants you to walk, without the Spirit of God. Folks, our life is to be led by the Spirit of God, and we can trust it because he will always speak the truth to us, even though we might not want to hear it. He will glorify. He will glorify Jesus. Glorify Jesus. It is amazing. It is amazing. It is amazing. Romans 8 verse 2, Paul said it like this. For the law of the Spirit of life, speaking of the Holy Spirit, has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. We're going to talk about him more over the weeks to come, what he does. But I want you to grasp this morning, it was so important. How many verses do we cover there? Several. Several. And it was all about Jesus saying, the Spirit is important. Pay attention to him. Ask for a more realization of who he is in your life. Seek his counsel. Allow him to give you his strength. The Living Bible says it like this, and because you belong to him, the power of the life-giving Spirit has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death. We are free in Christ Jesus by the power of the Holy Spirit being provided by the cross of Jesus Christ according to the plan of the Father. It is so important. Romans 8:31 says this as we conclude. If God is for us, if God is with us through the Spirit, if we have been purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ, who can successfully stand against us? Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. And the Spirit was so important to Jesus. He took a lot of time to explain it to the disciples that had no clue what he was talking about. As we hear this morning, we don't quite know how to put our hands around this. The disciples learned. We can learn. Father, we place ourselves in your hands under the guidance of the Spirit of God here this morning. And if I do not know you as Lord and Savior, I trust that the Spirit will just so make that real in your life. You've got to do that this morning. And you've got to tell somebody about that this morning. But Lord, if we're struggling, we're just physically weak. The Spirit can provide strength. We need answers. Answers that doctors and nurses can't give and the government can't give. But we need answers, dear Father, and you promised to lead us to all truth. And all truth leads through the cross of Jesus Christ. Father, we're standing before you this morning through your word and your promises. And ask that the Spirit of God would fill us now. Fill us, making you real to us. That, Father, we can sense him. We can sense his power flowing through us. That we can sense his truth coming to us. That we may see ourselves through his eyes, not ours, or the eyes of someone else. That may we be who you want us to be through his power. I pray you open your altars. But mostly we open the altars of our heart now. May we fully grasp, begin to grasp who we are. Not how I think I am, but who we really are. In your cross, underneath your power. And I thank you, and you are so grateful. Amen.